Revive me!
What's up, guys? My name in Gamertag is Alex J. Simpson, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Revive Me podcast, a podcast purely for Gears of War. And joining me for the first episode, I've got Arctic from Amazing Gaming. Yeah, go ahead.
What's up, man? How you been? Glad to be here.
And I've also got Wallace, who was also known as the Josh HD, but has recently made a brand new YouTube channel, which is dedicated to Gears. And good on him.
Hey, man. Happy to be here.
Okay, so basically, the podcast is going to be about Gears of War, and mainly Gears of War 3, as I highly doubt Gears of War 1 and Gears of War 2 will ever be looked at again in 5 days' time.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, anyway.
I plan on burning my Gears of War 2 copy.
Ah, see, this is something I've actually asked my subscribers. What should I do with my disc? Now, what you're going to do? You're going to burn it, Arctic.
Yep, burning it.
What are you going to do, Wallace?
I want to find something creative to do. I actually traded mine in a while ago and actually bought a secondhand one for like really cheap. So
rebought the game?
Literally, because that basically just shows how much boredom I had from playing Call of Duty. I actually went from Call of Duty to Gears 2, which showed how bored I was of that series. I think it was just because after I'd played the beta, I just couldn't not play any sort of Gears. I would rather sort of truck through Gears 2 than rather not play it at all.
Yeah, at least you got some practice in.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, I'm debating whether or not I should put it in the toaster, or I should buy a really cheap microwave, put it in the microwave, turn it on in like the middle of the garden or something, and then blow it up somehow.
I would definitely, if you're going to put it in a toaster or a microwave, I was going to say you should buy a new one before you
do it. We've got a broken toaster, so I think that the results from the broken toaster would be even funnier than an actual working toaster.
It could go well, who knows?
Yeah, yeah, probably. I think I'm just going to do a montage of different things I can do with it.
You'd be able to be honest, about a week after Gears 3, you'll probably be able to pick up Gears 2 for about £2/$2. It'll be like really cheap. You'll be paying for the disc pretty much. So you might as well just buy like 10 copies and just do funny things with it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so what are you guys looking forward to most, starting with Wallace?
What am I looking forward to most? Regarding the game as a whole, I'm just looking forward to actually playing more Gears and actually bringing a lot more content rather than... obviously, there's a lot of things within the actual game I'm really excited about, like all the new maps and all the new actual... the campaign is actually something I'm really, really excited about, just because I know it's going to be four-player. I don't know, Gears of War has great campaigns anyway. They're fairly... I was going to say emotional, but it's not like I get upset at the campaign, but it's a good experience to actually play through compared to a lot of other campaigns.
Okay, Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And I'm just basically looking forward to posting a lot of videos in the coming months, pretty much.
Well, that's good. And Arctic, because you've had quite a bit of hands-on with the game already, what are you looking forward to that you haven't already tried out?
Well, I think I want to see how the dedicated servers play out on a larger scale. I mean, 1.3 million people is a lot, but if it's anywhere near the numbers that I think it'll be, I think... I want to see how well they hold up and if this type of thing will be common for games in the future, because we haven't really had any dedicated servers on any of the major game titles. So this is kind of a precedent in that regard, and I think a lot of people are looking forward to that. That's probably my number one thing. Other than that, I'm just looking forward to, like Wallace said, creating Gears content. Kind of missed the opportunity with Gears 2 and we started late. So I think with Gears 3, this is going to be a nice break, I guess, for us because the game is a lot better than Gears of War 2 and Gears of War 1. So I think a lot more people will be interested in it. And, I mean, the game just plays fantastically. It's really smooth. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Now, I know you've actually played quite a bit of the Beast Mode and Horde Mode, haven't you? I know you've played Horde Mode, but have you played Beast Mode? Oh, I think he just fell down the stairs.
I have played Horde Mode. I have not played Beast Mode. Skyless actually played Beast Mode. Horde Mode is really fun and interesting. It's a little bit different because you have to kind of structure your setup more strategically because of the purchasing system that they have in it now. But Horde mode looks, or Beast mode looks really interesting. I've seen a lot of gameplays on it, and I want to see some speed runs. So, I mean, we plan on doing some videos on it. I think that's going to be a nice little catchy thing to do. If you can get some guys that record speed runs and, you know, call out their tactics on different maps, that's going to be pretty awesome. So, I really haven't played too much Beast mode, but the videos on it look cool. But Horde mode is definitely a better experience.
See, I've actually been shying away from a lot of these leaked videos and early videos because I kind of don't want to ruin it for me. I mean, I've seen a bit of like off like TV screen footage of Horde mode and Beast mode, but I'm not too 100% sure like how Beast mode works. It's something about tokens and you. How's it work?
So basically, I believe you are awarded points to purchase higher grade or higher level character. So let's say at level one you have like a ticker or a wretch, and you work your way up based on the number of kills that you get each wave. And I think there's 12 waves max. So each kill that you get earns you more points so you can buy a better character. And then using those skills with each character obviously means that you can get better, more kills or complete the wave. And the, I think it's a minute. You have a minute per wave to win. So it's really fast. I think a lot of people like that. But it's just like, it's kind of structured like Horde, where you have a monetary or value system, and then you purchase it based off of your performance in game.
See, I kind of saw Beast Mode, and I thought, oh, it's just Horde Mode, but they just changed the teams around. But it seems that it's actually kind of different.
Yeah, each character has its own unique playstyle, so we'll and special abilities. I know a lot of I was really interested in seeing the like centipede thingy, Cerepede, I think is what it's, giant Cerepede. But a lot of different enemies in it, or locusts, whatever you want to call it, have their own abilities. So I think that'll be a brand new experience for a lot of people, because you get to play as the locust, which is pretty damn awesome if you ask me.
Do you think it would be possible to ever make a mode where it kind of combines the two, where one team plays as the Locust and the other team play as the Cog? Do you think that would ever work?
On a full scale, you mean like having all the enemies? Because technically you already are playing as Locust and Cog. But you mean like having their special abilities and different characters?
Well, this is kind of new to me. I kind of thought that Beast Mode, you were against AI, weren't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're meaning like a Beast Mode where you're actually playing against other players and you get to control all of the different locusts in the game?
Yeah, well, one team plays as the Cog team and plays it like Horde Mode, but the other team's playing as Locust. So
I think it would be a lot more difficult, so I don't know. I mean, I think the value system, the point monetary system, would have to be a lot different, because if everyone is starting out as wretches and tickers and you're playing a team of humans, you probably get dominated.
Oh, yeah, okay. They would definitely have to revise a lot of things. Like the cogs would maybe have to start with like a pistol or so and so like that. You'd definitely have to obviously work up both sides evenly. Right. But like crossing over, like I think they could do it, but I don't think it's probably going to happen anytime like within Gears of War 3. But I mean, as you said, like, do you think it would be possible? I think it would be possible, but it would just take a lot of work and revision compared to like Horde Mode and Beast Mode, because it would just be kind of combining the two, so I think there would have to be a lot of change.
Yeah, definitely.
And no.
No, it's okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I know a lot of channels kind of struggle to find like a niche for like their videos, and I really think that with Gears of War 3 and like all of the new game modes and all of the new features coming out, I really want to see what channels, like, instead of people, I know obviously a lot of people do commentaries and montages like sort of as standard right now, but it'd be really nice to see if there's any channels that just solely stick to Horde mode gameplays or solely stick to like any sort of Beast mode speedruns, because I know there's a lot of channels that just build up from that. Like, for example, the only really example I can think of is one guy who does just zombie videos. You both may have heard of him, called like the Syndicate Project.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like I'm just wondering if how popular the Beast mode and Horde mode is. I was just wondering if it would maybe see some new people coming out from under rocks, just doing like full-on Horde mode gameplays and no multiplayer. I just wonder how that would actually work. It would be nice to see lots of different videos regarding that anyway.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty cool as well. I really, really want to see the Beast mode gameplay, because it's structured in in a way that you'd have to rely on other people's abilities to make it successful for each one. Whereas Horde mode, I mean, you do have to do that, but Horde mode, you're just killing locusts, so it's not that much harder.
Has leaderboards been confirmed for either modes?
I'm not sure. I haven't asked specifically about leaderboards for that. I assume it would be, but I don't know.
See, the thing is, it doesn't seem, I can't say this for certain, but it doesn't seem that many people really play Horde mode anymore in Gears of War 2. I mean, I know it was really popular when it first came out, but there's no one that makes specifically like Horde videos on YouTube already for Gears 2, is there?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't really seen it. I haven't seen any popular. And Wallace mentioned the Syndicate. I haven't seen anything like that for Beast mode or Horde mode gameplay.
I think that might have just been because like Gears 2 as a whole kind of dropped off the scale, just because it, like, everybody kind of stopped playing it. I reckon that because Gears of War 3, in my opinion, I think it's going to be going for a lot longer. So I think there's going to be a lot more interest in every single game mode, as I said earlier. So it'll be nice to see if anybody does decide to do that. I mean, personally, I'm just going to go for a mix of videos, and I just want to post lots of Gears of War 3 just because it's getting so close. And then yeah. I'm just really excited, and I just want to post lots. But it'll be nice to see. I mean, if someone doesn't like multiplayer and they want to stick to Horde or just Beast mode, I mean, it's up to them, you know, it's their content. And I think it'll be really enjoyable to watch if someone gets really, really good at it.
Yeah, well, I think that Gears 3's lifespan will be really large. I think that it'll be played for quite a long time, and I think there'll be a massive fan base playing it until, if they like have another game coming out, they'll still be playing it. Whereas with Gears 2, you know, most of the people that play it religiously, you know, they've still got some people, but a lot of people have just given up on the game until Gears 3, really. Although, have you noticed the amount of people that have been playing it recently? Just get ready for Gears of War 3.
Yeah, the craziest thing about that is, despite how much people dislike Gears 2 and all of its flaws, when they made the call for like Gears Weekends and people promoting it for Gears of War 3, like, you know, get your weapon unlocks, play Gears of War 2 for Gears of War 3, I think a lot of people, including myself, were surprised at the turnout and how many people are actually like really hardcore Gears fans that are just disappointed in Gears 2, but they're kind of fiddling around with it now on like Gears Weekends and stuff.
A lot of people are trying to get their wings, aren't they?
Yes, me included.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm at level 85 now.
Well, what you can do now, which is really nice, you can just sit in Horde mode on security against tickers, and they just keep killing themselves, since now Horde mode is just against tickers, isn't it? And it's like 25 times XP. So if you actually sit on security and just sit behind all the barriers, you can just basically go AFK, get some free XP if you are busy, but you can just turn on your Xbox. So
you've just given a few people some ideas there.
Yeah, you did.
If I don't get to level 100 in by like, I don't know, Saturday, I think I'll just leave my Xbox on until Tuesday and do that. Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks for the advice though.
Just every time you get to like rank 50, if you stick it on insane and just turn off the security and then go behind, you know, the three barriers and then let it go back on, you could probably just go AFK for a while and they eventually kill themselves.
The AI do actually turn the button on though.
Yeah, but I don't think tickers can. That's the only thing, because it's just
hang on, they've made it tickers only.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so they've done tickers. It on purpose so that people can do this.
Yeah. But obviously security is the easiest map, because you actually have a physical barrier away from the enemies, so you can just go AFK, which is nice.
So Arctic, did you not really play Gears of War 2 when the whole rank 100 thing came out?
Wallace, that's so cheap. That's so cheap.
I know it's cheap. but I mean, anybody's going to do whatever they can to get rank 100. And I mean,
Sorry, go ahead.
For example, if you were going to work for a few hours, you could just be like, oh, just let me turn on my Xbox. I'll just go AFK while I go to work, come back and be like 10 ranks higher.
I hope Epic hears this and they ban you.
Yeah, you've just given us, like, however many people are actually going to listen to this, you've given them some ideas. And if you see a bunch of people getting rank 100 and cheap unlocks and without any, you know, without actually earning it, you're the reason. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so the question, what was the question again?
Yeah, what does wings actually do for Gears 3? I can't remember what unlocks.
I think it unlocks all the veteran gear, which is like the gold stuff. So gold weapons for like everything, I think.
Yeah, you
I'm
just
100%
go on.
sure.
I saw on a blog that basically they unlocked all the gold weapons, like you said, like you were right on that, and then there is other ways to actually unlock the gold weapons within Gears of War 3. Like, I think one of them, you can unlock, like, one weapon for, like, completing it on hardest difficulty, one weapon for doing, like, you unlock it weapon by weapon for doing specific tasks, but apparently they were going to do it so every single weapon could be unlocked within Gears of War 3, but I think they changed it so you could only unlock the Gold Nasher, I think, just by getting rank 100 in Gears 2, so they could keep something like fully 100% exclusive to get in your wings, which I think is good, because like I think a lot of people would maybe feel cheated out of rank 100, apart from maybe just doing it cheaply by the tick away, but if somebody like fully earned it before any of the XP bonuses came around, I think they would maybe feel cheated that anybody could just put in Gears of War 3 and just grind out Gears of War 3 and get every gold weapon. It's nice to see at least one weapon be 100% exclusive to get in your wings, at least.
Speaking of feeling cheated and weapon skins, what do you guys think about the whole many weapon skins are purchased through points?
I have a video on it that I just put out.
I was watching that.
So I did that video, and then I did another one that's a little bit more in-depth today. So here's my thing is, and this is just a quick summation of what I said in the video. It's a 10-minute video. So I feel like if they're going to do that, it needs to be on a freemium modeled game. Basically, if you're going to do something like that, we're on a game that people are already paying $100-something for the Epic Edition. Limited Edition is like $70-something or $80. And then you have the regular edition, which you're paying $60 for. If you're already paying that much money for the game, and then you're trying to squeeze DLC money out of, Season Pass or weapon skins, I think people feel cheated. I don't disagree with it. I think DLC is something I would pay for, but weapon skins is like, that's more of something where you think about League of Legends. You can either purchase a character, and the game is free. You can purchase a character early.
God, I love League of Legends.
Or you can, grind it out and earn the character. I feel like that is more along the lines of what weapon skins represent, a freemium-based thing. It's not something that people should be paying for. So that kind of irritates me. But in the end, I mean, people are going to make decisions on their own and purchase it if they want to. I'm not objecting to purchasing the weapon skins. I mean, I might get a few, but I just think the whole 22 of them being
22
being paid for is just a little ridiculous compared to what you can unlock.
I mean, I can imagine 5 skins maybe being payable for, and then the rest like being unlocked. Like, for example, 22. I mean, you could do that with challenges within games. You could do like 100 headshots with a sniper.
I think that they're ruining their game, because I think that having, like, you know how Call of Duty, Wallace, you're very associated with Call of Duty, or you were in the past at least, but you know, you actually had to earn things, like you do certain challenges to unlock, and I was really looking forward to doing that in Gears of War 3. But it seems that there is just not much to unlock other than just ranking up, and weapon skins kind of shows what you've done and your accomplishments, but they've kind of just taken that away and just made it, if you have money, you have that weapon skin. That's the part that really annoys me, and also the fact that there's been trailers of Gears in the past where like someone has a pink shotgun and people are like, oh, I can't wait for that, I can't wait to unlock the pink shotgun, but they're not unlocking it anymore. They're having to pay for it on the top of a game that people have already paid for. And like you said, Arctic, about the Epic Edition, I feel so sorry for the people that have purchased the Epic Edition, because you know, they're getting some weapon skins on top of that, but now they're gonna have to pay for even more. To be honest, I think with the Epic Edition, they should be giving the skins to people.
They should be giving the skins away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, for the Epic Edition. Yeah, maybe not the standard one or the limited one, but definitely the Epic Edition owners.
Yeah, they could have done like a lot more with it. Like, they could have, for the Epic Edition, they could have thrown in the skins, and like maybe like on top of that, if they're feeling super kind, like maybe like the season pass, and then like maybe just skins for limited edition. They could have added those more, just so even more people bought the limited edition. I mean, depending on the price, I mean, I don't know if there's been a price confirmed for like the skins separately or as like a pack. I assume they would be cheaper as a pack, but it would just be nice just to see. I mean, just 22 is too much, in my opinion. As I said earlier, like 5 skins would be would be fine. But depending on what skins they are, I mean, it'd have just been nice to get, like, let's say 500 kills with an Asher, 1,000 kills with an Asher to unlock, like, one skin, because people are going to get that easily over an amount of time, but not too easily. Like, 1,000, it'll take you a while, but it's going to be nice when you finally earn, like...
When you finally get it, right.
Yeah.
It's more rewarding.
Are there any skins linked to challenges or anything like that?
There's the, I mean, you have six skins that are... You have the Chrome skins, which are, like... Gears of War Legacy Unlocks, so playing at Gears of War 1 or Gears of War 2 campaign or Gears of War on the PC will unlock different weapon skins for the Chrome set. The Gold set, which we've discussed already, is like getting your wings on Gears of War 2 or whatever else they're going to have for that. Gold Omen, I think it's like level 100 on Gears of War 3. I don't know the Crimson Omen or Flame. The Onyx is 6,000 kills with any gun. So the example that I gave was the shotgun. So if you get 6,000 kills with the shotgun, you'll get the Onyx skin. Or 6,000 kills with the Lancer, you'll get the Onyx skin for the Lancer. And then there's one called Team Insignia, which I'm not sure what that is. But those, that's it. And then when I look at the paid one... Like I said, I have this written down. It's like the list looks ridiculous compared to the unlocks, and it's really disappointing.
Four times as many to actually pay for than you actually unlock.
Does your video actually reveal what the skins are that you pay for?
No, it doesn't.
I was going to say, I haven't been able to find that information so far.
Because, I mean, I can't remember what blog I was looking on. I can't remember if it was an official source or not, but, like... Some of the golden ones were literally either earn your wings in Gears 2 or like one skin was like playing the first week. I mean, I think that's way too easy to get a gold gun if you're going to have to get to rank 100 in Gears 2. I mean, playing the first week, people could... Like, there's going to be so many people buying it in the first week, so everybody is pretty much going to have a gold gun if that's actually what they're going to do for one gold weapon. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things they could have done differently regarding the skins anyway. Overall, it's going to be a good game, but... I don't think they need to do that, but regarding the season pass, I think I'll buy the season pass just because overall it's going to save me money, and then I'll get the DLC at a cheaper price. I can see why they'd do that, but I can also see why people would also complain about that, because they're going to be like, oh, well, they've already got four DLC planned, why can't they just include that in the full game? There's always going to be people like saying that, but it's nice for them to plan ahead for some DLC, but the skins, depending on the price, like if they're going to be like 80 Microsoft points each, that's going to be like 1,600 points just to get 20 skins, which it's too much.
That's a lot of money, actually, thinking about it, 1,600 points. How much is that usually? Is that like £20 or something?
Yeah,
or is it more than
right.
Yeah, something like that. And that's just for some skins. I mean, I don't know. Depending on the price, as I said, I mean, if they did it for like 500 for all of them, I could see why people do it. But I just think unlockables would be so much better. I mean, then again, from a company standpoint, they've got to earn money like after the game comes out. So I can see there's so many variables, but I just think 22 is too much. And they could have maybe, you could have maybe been able to buy some and then unlock some or a combination of both. But I don't know. Knowing me, I'll probably still end up buying them. So they're probably
it's a bit of an imbalance really between the unlocks and the paid for. Now, going to onto the Season Pass, I think that the Season Pass, looking at the details, seems like a really good idea, but one of you two might be able to clear it up, but do you get the DLC slightly early if you purchase the Season Pass?
No, I don't think
not that
so.
I've heard of.
I think all the DLC releases at the same time, but if you purchase the Season Pass, you just get it at a discounted price, and then you get liquid metal skins is the other thing that you get with that. So... I don't really think it makes it any earlier than anyone else.
It's a pretty good idea, though. It's 2,400 Microsoft points, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And how many pieces of DLC did they say they're doing?
Four, I believe.
Four installments of downloadable content.
Right, okay. And they said that apparently you're purchasing the Season Pass gives you a third discount. So how much...
No, I think it's 2,400 with the discount. I think it was going to be 800... per piece. I think it was going to be 3,200 or something. I think like 800 per piece, but I think you get it for 600 per piece, if I'm correct. And then you also get the skin pack, like Arctic said, which is like a moving metal style skin, I think.
Yeah.
Wait, so the Season Pass doesn't grant you the DLC for free, or it does?
No, it does, but you like what I'm saying is that if you buy the Season Pass You get it for, I think, 2,400, but if you didn't buy the season pass, if you bought them all separately, it would cost you 3,200. So basically you're getting them, it would be 600 each, like if you broke it down with the season pass, but if you didn't, it would be 800 each, like any normal map pack pretty much. So you're basically just getting them all for 600, which is quite nice considering it's four DLCs over the span of however long they decide to release them.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. Does anyone know when the first set of DLC is planned for?
November?
Yeah, I think it was November. It was 2 months after the release, so...
Yeah.
But that's not too bad, then.
The good thing is, though, that's, like, not just map packs. That's, apparently, like, map packs, campaign levels, bonus content, like, new... Like, not just multiplayer, which is nice. It's going to be, like, campaign and multiplayer and other game modes unlocked, so... It's going to be a whole array of stuff. So one of them may be a map pack, one of them may be like two maps, and then like a campaign chapter, you know, like the deleted scene on Gears 2. So it's nice to see things other than map packs, just because, like, when this is... I know I'm kind of going back to Call of Duty again, but this is like... I think if you get like Call of Duty Elite, you get like something like 9 or like some like 10 or 15 amounts of DLC like over 9 months, and you get all that for free, but that's also going to be like loads of map packs and stuff. But could you imagine 15 DLCs? Could you imagine how many maps they actually is going to be? I just think Activision are just becoming very money hungry, and I can...
What do you mean becoming?
Well, are very money hungry. Very money hungry and getting even worse. And I can see this kind of links into like why Epic would do it. I mean, they have to keep up in one way slightly, just because like if they're thinking, oh, Activision are making millions more than us on top of their normal sales just because of their normal DLC, we have to do something about that also. So I can see why they've done the skins once again, but I don't know. You always have to get the balance right between how much DLC you release and how much you have included in the game and what price. It's a fine line between being, okay, that's nice to buy, or, oh my god, you're trying to take every single penny I have.
It's going to be an expensive game. Like, right from the get-go, if you get the season pass and just the standard edition of the game, you're going to be paying British money, it's something like £65 straight from the start.
Well, I think I'm picking up Gears 3 for 35, and then for 2,400, I think that's like £20 on top, isn't it? Yeah, so it is about right. It's anywhere between like £55 and £65. So that's like buying the limited edition, but obviously without the bonuses. And then you also have to get, if you want, you can get the skins. So games are becoming more and more expensive throughout the day.
Where selling it at £35?
Blockbuster is what you're getting for 35. So, pro tip to anyone that hasn't pre-ordered it, go to Blockbuster.
Man, Blockbuster is desperate.
Yep.
I didn't even consider them. I didn't think they'd have a midnight opening, though.
Yeah, they are. They're also having a midnight opening. Thank the Lord. So, yeah, it's the only local store I have in my town, so literally I've pre-ordered from Blockbuster. And also, like, on the same day, I pre-ordered it, and I was like, I also applied for a job on the same day, so it was a good day.
The Revive Me podcast is not sponsored by Blockbuster in any way. I'm just going to quickly put that in there. I'm getting mine from GameStation.
Yeah, for a second I thought that was a sound file you played, and then you started to laugh. So
it's my commercial speaking guy voice.
That was pretty damn good.
Warning, sound effects. I can't. I need a script to be able to do that really quick talking.
But yeah, I mean, Blockbuster, they are fairly desperate at times. Like, sometimes they'll release stuff expensive, and then sometimes they just go crazy cheap. But it's still like not that cheap, and I think it's only still like $50, so it's knocking like $10 off. So
it's making me regret my my pre-order, which I think is
45.
About 40 or 40. I think it's 45, but I did a £5 deposit, so I'll probably get it for 40. I'm getting I think it's a limited edition. I can't really remember. To be honest, when I pre-ordered it, it was in about, I think it was April, maybe after that. I think it was during the beta, actually. The guys at the shop didn't have any clue what came with what version. Like, they were like, there's an Epic edition, there's a standard edition, and then there's this one in the middle. And so I think I'm getting the limited edition, which actually comes with like a metal box and stuff, which I found out the other day.
Yeah, and a nice medal and a cog. As usual, it's nice. Why was I going to use the word nice out of everything? It's not nice seeing people already playing Gears of War 3 on my friends list.
There's none on mine yet. I'd delete them if there was, because I'd just rage at them and go, fuck you!
There's a couple on mine, and that's why I only got around to pre-ordering it like the other week, because I was hoping to already have it, but I'll blame the one individual that I don't know who he is, who decided to leak a build that was earlier than the beta. I don't know why anybody would leak a build of the game that's earlier than the beta after the beta had finished. I mean, I just don't understand people's mindset. I mean, obviously they had to keep a very tight sort of lid on people using the game, so I'm assuming it was somebody very close to an Epic employee, like maybe a douchebag friend.
I'll tell you who did that. It was some guy with 27 subscribers who thought, I want more. Let's go ruin a game for many, many people.
Yeah, but surely it wasn't him that actually leaked the actual ISO onto torrent sites to actually download.
Well, it's going to get uploaded by someone, so that guy just decided to take the liberty of being that douchebag, I suppose.
Because they had to hand it all over to a different company, and I can see why, because obviously after it got leaked, they literally have to say that nobody can really end up being trusted. Well, they can be trusted, but obviously it was someone very close to a friend, so they're either really, really smug with themselves, or they're really, really they're feeling pretty guilty right now. So it just annoys me that people would go out of their way to leak a game. It's like, no, just wait for it to come out, because people are gonna have false opinions. When for example, Crysis 2 got leaked and I downloaded that, and that was full of bugs, so then so many people are gonna be like, well, this game sucks, it's full of bugs. It's like, no, it's a version that you were never supposed to play. So it's just going to give you a false opinion on the game, and I've started to dislike leaks of games.
See, I decided to ignore them. I think I watched one video with Clayton Carmine just because I wanted to see, how he looked in the game and what kind of things he said. And yeah, I think that was pretty much it, really, for the leaked footage.
Yeah, I didn't end up watching any. I just heard about it a lot and got upset.
See, if anyone had it early, I thought that Arctic might get it early, to be honest. Not through false means, I just thought that you might be given it early from the developers.
No, I know some people that were. I mean, maybe if I lived in Raleigh, it would have been near the studio, it would have been a little bit easier. But I didn't really want one earlier, and I didn't want to be given a copy. I'd rather pay for it like everybody else. So,
that's good of you.
Yeah.
So, well, you've had a lot of interaction with Epic Games recently, and you went to, you were doing commentary for MLG. Where was it? Was it in Raleigh?
That was in Raleigh, uh-huh.
That was great. I was watching that live stream at my friend's house on his 2 meg internet connection, and I eventually had to give up and watch it on YouTube later, and that took about an hour to load each video, but it was worth it.
Well, yeah, I mean, how was the experience overall? Because when you were there, I was just thinking, I'm jealous, pretty much.
How did you get involved with all that?
Well, I have a lot of history with the staff at MLG, a lot of people that I know do content for them and stuff. Actually, I guess technically I write content for MLG. I just haven't written any recently. They contacted me pretty much the week before the event and asked if I would like to be involved with it and commentate the match with Quinn. And Quinn, when I refer to Quinn, that's Quinn Del Hoyle. He's the one of the level designers for Gears of War 3. But they said that it would be me, him, and Chris Puckin. And I was like, they said nothing was confirmed, but would I be interested? I was like, yes, for sure. So they got me on board. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with, the continued Gears commentary videos that I've been doing. But for the most part, I mean, I know a lot of the guys there, so I was just honored that they would ask me and have me on there. I was really, really surprised. The experience itself was just unbelievable, unforgettable.
And you went to the offices as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
They
have a slide.
That looked fun.
For someone that has been a longtime Epic game supporter, like I said, and played a lot of their games for a long time, that was just like the utopian experience, just walking through, seeing the history, seeing where they work, what type of things they do, how they, the slide is like a great thing, but how they just are all about having fun and making great games. It's just, I don't know, I can't describe it in words. It's just really good.
Did it take you back around a decade to when you first started with the whole Epic series?
Unreal? Yeah, probably I'd say that. Just thinking back of playing Unreal and, you know, not really associating it with Epic, but then, like, after the first game finished and they were on their, like, UT, 2K, whatever, I was like, oh, I need to play that. That's an Unreal game. Yeah. And, you know, you start to pay attention to who actually creates the game, and then you kind of become a fan. So, yeah, I think thinking back on the experience was definitely great and positive. I don't know.
Your video actually taught me something, and I never knew this until recently. I actually had Jazz Jack Rabbit 2 when I was about 7 years old on my computer, and that was my first Epic game. They were called Epic Mega Games back then, and I had no idea they created that game until recently.
Yeah, it was a pretty sweet game.
Oh, I loved it. I remember I put it on the server at this primary school, like little kid's school, when I was at school there, and everyone was playing it, and yeah, the teachers did not like me for that.
Well, if out of everything you got to put on, you got to put on an Epic game.
Yeah, it was just such a good game. It's much better. I much preferred it over Sonic and stuff like that. Although there's probably some people looking at me, well, listening to me now, thinking, "What an asshole!"
Yeah, probably.
Dissing on their Sonic.
I was a very big Sonic fan, and I never played Jazz Jack Rabbit, Jack Rabbit, or whatever. But I'm gonna have to. I may have to download it just to actually give it a play, just to see.
Pretty fun.
It's actually a really good game, and it's interesting to see where they first started out and stuff. Now let's talk about first starting out. When did both of you get first involved with the Gears of War franchise? I'll start with Wallace because he's a bit newer to it.
I'm less new than you think. Like when Gears of War 1 came out, that was my primary game. Like no matter what, like I didn't play Call of Duty like at all, and Gears of War 1 was the one I played a lot. Like I wouldn't post any sort of content, but I would play it a lot, and I'd work on my sniping skills, and I got pretty good at that. And I didn't play any sort of competitive gameplay, but I played Gears of War 1 a lot and with a lot of friends for a long, long time, and also did for Gears of War 2 when that came out. But sort of I went in and out of Gears of War 2 just because it was really bad, and then they had claimed to fix it, and then some stuff was fixed and then some stuff wasn't. And then after that, I think that's when I kind of transitioned to YouTube and Call of Duty at the same time. And then that's kind of, since that was the game I was playing at the time, I thought, okay, I'll put some content on that. And then built up my channel that way. And then when Gears of War 3 was announced, it kind of brought back the memories of me playing Gears of War 1. And I was like, hang on, why did I ever stop playing? Because I had so much fun playing Gears of War 1. But I think it was mainly Gears of War 2 that stopped me from playing. But it kind of brought back all the memories from the Gears of War franchise in general. So I was like, you know what, I've got to go full out for this beta. And then after I played the beta and posted some content on Machinima for that, and then some on my channel also, I was like, do you know what? Call of Duty's boring me. I've got to go straight for Gears, 100%, and just this time around, I've got such a better mindset for creating videos, because I know I lost touch with my subscribers on my old channel, so I thought it'd be better to start fresh, better now than ever, since there's going to be a brand new game coming out that I'm going to be playing a lot, so it's just nice to be able to create a whole lot of fresh content, build a whole fresh fan base, and just see how it goes from there, pretty much.
So I think you were very brave to completely start again with a brand new channel, and it must have been a pretty big step, because you had like, what is it, about 12,000 subscribers on the Josh HD channel?
Yes, I do. I currently have like 12,400 or something, and I just thought, you know what, my content's kind of lacking. I'm losing touch with everybody. I've still got my contract for Machinima Respawn, and I can still post on that. Okay, I just don't have partnership on my new channel, which I'm fine with right now, so I'm still going to be creating lots of content for my channel, still going to be submitting those to Machinima Respawn. So all in all, it's going to be really good. It was a big step to actually change channels, because I know a lot of people don't like to do it, because obviously they've got a lot of video memories with that channel, but I thought it'd just be nice just to build up a more dedicated fan base, so then like a lot of people who are subscribed currently on my old channel, I class my new one as my main channel, even though it's not as big. I'm going to be using it more. So on my old channel, I know a lot of people were subscribed for Call of Duty, and the Call of Duty fan base is very just if you bust anything else, they're like, no, more Call of Duty, Call of Duty only.
This is not Call of Duty. I'm going to give this video a dislike and a hateful message. Yeah. Which is pretty much what happens to loads of people that post, you know, like people that post Call of Duty and then they post like a Gears video. Like, I have a friend called Shane. He's got like a YouTube account. He's got 1,000 subscribers because he created a Modern Warfare 2 video, which got like 500,000 views. And he actually despises Call of Duty. So he went on to make loads of Gears videos and people just ignore them completely. So starting again was a good plan because otherwise you'd have a bunch of dead subscribers.
Yes.
So and you did the right thing, definitely.
Yeah, and I'm still going to be, as I said, like I can still put my new channel link in the description for like Machinima Respawn video, so it's still going to link them to the right place and it's still going to bring in traffic from there. So I think all in all, it's going to be good, and it's just I just want to play it now. I just need it to be the 20th, or should I say like midnight, and I just want to play.
I just wish it was 5 days and 4 minutes. It's 4 days and 4 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, you're a brave soul for that.
Yeah, I mean, I've within like a couple of months, like it was, I was going between it. I was like, should I switch? Should I not? And then I thought, yeah, I'll switch. And then like then I literally thought, no, I can't do this. I've got all these subscribers over here that still watch my content, because there was quite a few people that subscribed just for Gears 3 from when I posted beta gameplay. There was a lot of people that liked it, and then I was just like, yeah, I'll change. And then I was like, no. Well, I've still got like maybe 1,000 people that are just dedicated to Gears. And then I was like, yeah, we'll. No, I won't. And then I just like, you know what? I'm doing it. I don't care. And then I just put myself there, just posted a promo video, and just thought, you know what? However many people transition over is cool. And I got around like 350 or around 300 people that came over. I mean, I know that's not a lot, because obviously I only had around 1,000 like dedicated Gears fans, and a lot of people don't come over from like promo videos. So I'm not all that bothered. It's just nice to have a little bit of a start up, and I'm sure Gears of War 3 will bring in a lot of outside traffic from brand new people, so hopefully I'll just build my channel up from there and see how it goes.
Well, the whole Gears community supports your decision, and yeah, you deserve a round of applause. I'll give you one there. There we go. Well done. Yeah. Now, Arctic, you've always been on the kind of Gears of War franchise, haven't you? Well, what's your history of the franchise?
So I started day one with Gears. It was in November, whatever day that it came out, in 2006.
Yeah, so I think it's 2006.
So I was a day one player, but my take on it was a lot different from probably most of you guys that play or listen, because I had the competitive mindset going into it. So when I was playing, it was strictly for the sole purpose of competing. And I started posting videos really early. I just wasn't consistent. And back then, my equipment was a lot not nicer. I mean, posting video content back on YouTube in 2006 was like, it was not the same that it is now. I don't even think the subscribe button was available back then. So it was just a lot different then. And, you know, you post a montage or something like that on YouTube, or what was the other site?
Vimeo. There's Vimeo. And Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of, Blip TV, because you could actually earn money from Blip TV back in the day.
Yeah.
Because I remember one guy who did that. But you, yeah, carry on. Sorry for burning there.
I just didn't have a lot of need for it. I knew people would watch, but it wasn't like something I was trying to build up a subscriber base. So I started then, played with Team VBI, and we were involved with MLG immediately with that. Like right after the game released, they had like 2 or 3 online tournaments. We played in all of them. We actually won one of those online tournaments, which gave us the seeding points for the first MLG event, which was in Meadowlands in 2007, which was like June 2007. And out of like 100 and something teams, we ended up getting 4th place, and we became a pro team. And so like that carried all the way over for the next 2 years for Gears of War 1. And then Gears of War 2 released. So at that point, I changed my team name from VBI to Amazin, which is what everyone knows now, and kind of lessened the cut off all the fat, I guess, if you want to call it that. And we were strictly into Gears of War 2, but there was so many issues with Gears of War 2. So it was really hard to be motivated about the game. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to start posting more scrimmages and stuff. So I think during the summer of that time, because I worked at a LAN center. So all of our guys actually played in the LAN center, and we were on this beast connection. It was a T3. So I could just upload video like immediately after it got done. So I ended up posting like 90 scrimmages from Gears of War 2 against a lot of the top teams on the game. And what really, I guess, kind of helped that situation was we won the MLG Dallas event in 2009. So a lot more people were interested in watching our videos, the ones that I put out, and kind of listening to stuff. So from that point on, it's just been, you know, I've been intimately involved with creating gear stuff. And I mean, I do other things on my channel, obviously. But as far as Gears gameplay, that's my bread and butter, just because I love the game. Gears of War 2 was a dud, but I mean, it has points of being fun, but for the most part, I didn't enjoy it. Now we're on Gears 3, and I love it.
See, I remember looking at like footage from Gears 2 competitive, and when you look at it now, it's like, oh my god, they had the smoke grenade like knocking over and everyone flying about, and it did not look like a game that should be MLG at all. Like, such a broken looking game. So it's good that Gears of War 3 is much more polished, and Gears of War 3 is going to be done on MLG competitively, isn't it? Definitely.
I don't know. No one has really said anything that would confirm it. So, I mean, everyone says it's looking good. A lot of positive stuff going on. I don't know. I think it will, in some capacity, be involved with MLG, but no one is letting us know information this early.
And are you going to be competing with Amazing if it is?
Yes, I will. Yep, plan That's on competing good. And doing my normal routine with videos and stuff.
All right. Okay, that's really cool. So, we've gone over quite a lot so far in the podcast. Wow, we've been going for 47 minutes. I kind of imagined the first episode to only go for like half an hour, but I'm glad that it's gone on for quite a bit longer. But Gears 3 is only technically it's just gone past 12 a.m. So it's now Thursday here. So how many days is it away? Is it four?
It's technically, well, it comes out on Tuesday, but like.
You might as well say four.
It's like Monday, Monday 23:59. If you really want to be like crazy specific and stuff, but it just needs to come out now. They just need to.
I know. I can picture myself in 4 days from this very point here. I'm gonna be pushing. I'm gonna grab my copy. I'm gonna push to a taxi. I'm gonna go fuck everyone. I'm gonna get in a taxi. Go back to my apartment as fast as possible, and I'm gonna be playing it.
Are you gonna record all that? Are you gonna record saying "fuck you"?
I'm gonna go into Game Station, abuse the staff, record it. Actually, I did have the idea because we've got I'm a film student, so we've got like really good cameras and stuff, and I did have the plan of kind of recording me picking it up, but you never really see a lot of British people recording like into shops and stuff because people are really a bit like
it's not the same here.
It's different here. It's like fuck you doing with that camera, dickhead. So it's kind of it's kind of hard to I'd go in there and they'd be like, why are you recording?
Yeah, so like, there's a lot of people that know I do this stuff and like they're supportive, but they also joke about it. And there's one friend of mine that's like 100% like no matter what I did with let's say with content and video, he'd be fully supportive. Like and then I've got a close group of friends that also like it. So like I was thinking of going into Blockbuster with my flip cam, but there's gonna be it would be funny to see just because. I'm going to make a pact to myself that I will be first in line, no matter what. I'm going to, because I know, I think it shuts at like 9 p.m. and then they reopen like Blockbuster anyway at like 12 for the midnight release. So yeah, I'll probably have to be sat there for about three quarters of an hour, but it would be nice to have the first copy, I do have to say.
Well, I actually went to get Black Ops at midnight. Don't judge me! Okay, I went to get Black Ops at midnight, and they opened it, like, I think it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes before midnight, but you couldn't buy a copy, so people were standing in a line. Now, that's Call of Duty. I don't know what it's going to be like here, but I'm going to attempt to be the first one in line. So, yeah, I might actually video it. You guys have given me kind of the support that I need to go and record me picking up the copy.
I'm recording it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be very nice. just considering, like, as we said earlier, it's really different in the UK. Like, you don't see anybody walking down, especially because I live in a really small town, like, with less than, I don't know, like, less than, it says on Google 10,000 people, but I just can't believe that. There's so much less. There's not 10,000 people in my town, is all I can say. And so if you're walking down the street holding a flip cam, like, at arm's length, people are going to think you're weird, but I don't care. I'm still going to do it. It's going to make a good video. Because, and also, just to, I can just one little thing. We'll have it 8 hours before you, Arctic.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Because of time difference.
Yeah, but don't worry, you can go to our channels and see our gameplay.
So I think I won't be doing any commentaries until early morning, just because I don't want to do a 3 a.m. commentary. But
I'm doing a live commentary of my first game, and then I'm going to render it, and then I'm going to upload it as fast as possible, because my connection takes 10 minutes to upload a video. So I'm going to upload it as quickly as possible, then go straight back to Gears of War 3.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to upload the video of me claiming Gears of War 3 in my hands as soon as I get home, or like a little bit after I get home. I'll do it at some point, so that'll be uploaded. And then I'm going to try to get one video a day, or one video every 2 days, just because currently I'm going to feel like a bum right now, but I don't have a job. But as I said, I applied for one just because I finished college not long ago. So hopefully if I can get the job at Blockbuster, which is actually only part-time, I mean, it'll be ideal, really, just because it'll be nice to have a part-time job and some time to myself, and then also have a good amount of time to create a good amount of content, as I said, like hopefully daily or maybe once every 2 days. I just want to try to get as much out as possible.
See, I've actually applied for, well, I'm about to. I'm going to go give in a CV tomorrow, but for seasonal staff at GameStation. Like, they've not got any positions at the moment, but they've got, like, for Christmas. And I'm going to make it my mission for every kid that comes in to buy Gears of War, I'm going to tell him to get Call of Duty instead. Whoa. So that we can limit the amount of kids on Gears of War. Do you know, my friend works in game, and he apparently some kid came in to pre-order Modern Warfare 3, and he went, "You've already played Modern Warfare 3, it's Modern Warfare 2. And then he got the kid to buy, pre-order Gears of War 3 instead. But my mission is the opposite, because,
even if they are little kids, though, you can just mute them. Like, I'd rather have lots of people who are terrible at the game, because it's always fun to own the noobs.
Actually, is there a mute thing on Gears? I can't remember, on Gears 3.
Well, you can't really hear them until you're dead. So, like, I guess you could stick to team deathmatch if you didn't want to hear kids, but
I'm just going to stay in party chat, like, constantly, even if it's by myself. And
if you guys want to avoid kids, I would probably recommend playing, like, Execution, because a lot of kids are going to be in TDM.
Good point, actually. Oh, yeah, that's one thing you've just reminded me. I remember hearing recently, and I think you put something on Twitter earlier, you were asking Gears this, but Execution's going to be 3 rounds?
Hey, that's just what I've heard from the dicks like you guys that are going to be playing earlier than me.
Yeah.
But, I've heard some people say that its default is 3 rounds. I don't know if that's 100% true,
that's
because when I played on, when I played on LAN, it seemed like the default was 5. So, I don't know, it just seems like hearsay, people trying to start unnecessary drama.
I really hope it's not 3 rounds, but to be honest, everything I've heard from one of my friends, he constantly supplies me with, like, he told me about the weapon skins and everything, but, like, everything he's told me so far has been true. So, and this is the one thing I hope he's wrong about, really, really hope he's wrong about, just because 3 rounds doesn't seem right. It's going to be too short.
Yeah, that was suck.
I can see 3 rounds for, like, Guardian and stuff, because you actually have to go get an objective and hold it, and that can go on for a long time. But Execution, I mean, it's 5v5. You could... If you had 3 quick rounds, the game could be over, like, in less than, like, 3 minutes. You could have, like, a minute round each time. And, I mean, fair enough, that makes for a quick video. But, I mean, gaming experience, I mean, it's not as cool as 5 rounds. 5 rounds was a nice amount. It was the perfect amount, in my opinion.
Yeah. Is there any benefit to Epic Games, statistic-wise, for having, like, lower rounds? Will it make it look like the game's played by more people? Because more games will be made out of, because of the short amount of rounds.
I don't know. I don't think they would be too bothered about it, but I don't know. I mean, I assume there'll be some reason why they've changed it to 3.
The only thing I could gather from that being their truth is that statistically, I think on Gears 2, if a round or if a game went to, let's say, a 5-4, you would have people quit out maybe a little bit more, but it always seemed like to me, and then I'm guessing all of this is for specifically for cheating, or not cheating, quitting out early, but in my experience is the closer the match, the longer people play. Like if you get to 4-4 and you guys got to play, you have to play that fifth round, then usually the people play. It's just that it takes a long time to get to 5-4 or 4-4 versus a 2-2, which is only four rounds, and then you're playing for that fifth round. Maybe people will stick around a little bit longer. And in the event that it's a blowout, like the first round and the second round, people are like, oh, those two rounds were lucky. And they'll play out the third round and then lose. But what if they just quit after the first round? Now, that would be worse than waiting like four rounds and they're like, oh, we're going to lose this. Let's quit. Like for Gears of War 2, for example, where it's five rounds. I don't know. Maybe it's because of people quitting. I just think it's that would be the only logical explanation from my standpoint. Quitting.
It seems way more logical than the statistic thing I said. I was just kind of spitballing, to be honest.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, first thing that came into my head when I thought three rounds, that I just thought, oh, it's going to be way too short because, like, a 3-0 victory. But, like, a 2-2, if it goes to, like, a 2-2 and then a 3-2, that's a nice amount of time playing. But I guess I was just thinking, like, I had the mindset of winning, which is...
Yeah, 3-0, yeah.
Yeah.
3-0s are going to go super fast. I mean...
Yeah.
Fast rounds usually end in like a minute and 30 seconds. So you're talking about a 5-minute execution. That's like ridiculous.
Yeah. It's nice. It'll be nice to talk over though, instead of having a 10-minute. Although it's good to talk. It depends what type of video you're posting on that matter, I guess. But it totally also depends on what team you have. Because if you have like an awesome set of teammates and you're just winning 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, you're probably going to change game mode. Like, I don't know, you might want to play.
Oh, you're going to be constantly sitting in the lobby as well, depending on how well the matchmaking's handling at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll be out of game a lot more.
I mean, I hope they, as you said earlier, Arctic, I hope the servers keep up quite well. I assume they will, but I mean, there may be a few hiccups, you know, within the first few days, just because that happens with 9 out of 10 games. Like, but yeah. Most of those don't have dedicated servers, for example. Like, I think there was a game called Homefront that literally got branded as Lobbyfront for the first week just because you couldn't connect ever.
Oh, do you remember Gears 2?
Yeah, that was also
bad. Oh, God, that was awful.
But who knows? I mean, I'm staying positive about everything. Like, when anybody brings up anything negative, I try to see the positive just because I'm going to be playing the game no matter what. I may as well be really happy about playing it than just... be negative and just be like, oh, this is gonna suck and this is gonna suck. I'm just gonna be like, no, this is gonna be good no matter what. I'm gonna play it.
See, even with any of these little issues or any of these little changes, I still can't wait for this game. And if I have as much fun playing the full games as the beta, then this will be my favorite game of all time. Because the beta was actually probably, I think, yeah, I can safe to say that it's my favorite game of all time. And that was just a small beta with like three maps, four maps even.
Yeah. I definitely agree, 100%. It was the best game I had played in a long, long time. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be my favorite of all time, but it was definitely one where I could see myself playing hours and hours and hours and hours, whereas Gears of War 2, it's hard to play an hour of that, let alone play...
You need friends in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I've stopped playing that game by myself. I just can't be bothered anymore. You get the guys that are constantly playing it in stacked teams. You come across them, and it just makes you rage. And Gears of War 3, please.
The only time I got slightly bored in the Gears of War 3 beta was because, you know, it came out, you know, the date where it came out for Bulletstorm users. Like, I think I remember when I first started talking to you, Arctic, you'd had it a little while before that, hadn't you? And I think I got it the Friday before that, and they had all the game modes, didn't they? And then they stripped it down just to Team Deathmatch for a week. And because I was used to playing all of the game modes, when it got stripped down to Team Deathmatch, I was just like, aw, now I have to wait a week to play them again. But other than that, it was nice.
Can't wait for the game.
Yeah. Right, so is there anything else we need to cover, or...
The last thing I was going to ask you guys, it's a little bit off topic from Gears, but what other games are you guys getting that are coming out this year?
Battlefield 3.
You are? Oh, that's good.
Skyrim, 100%. I'm definitely 100%. And I remember you acting saying that Skyless was always talking about Skyrim constantly. And yes. I think somebody's a very, yes, he's talking about it as usual.
Yes. Exactly. Spot on what my feelings are. Skyrim and Skyless, they like go hand in hand.
He should probably change his name to Skyrim Zin.
Yeah, he probably should. Skyrim Zin. That should be him. That's all he's been talking about. The other game is Diablo, which he's been talking about a lot. I want to play Diablo. I really do. But I just can't because of the time commitment to playing.
Yeah, you have to commit. You've got to commit to that game. And there was one more game I was going to get, and I full on can't remember what it was. I mean, it wasn't Modern Warfare 2.5. Oh. No.
Thank you.
I've actually pre-ordered that, and I'm thinking of canceling it.
Go cancel now.
did you watch the Call of Duty XP event?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't buy that.
No.
But yeah.
I don't really want to fund Activision anymore. I just bought Guitar Hero the other day, and I remember that was Activision. So it's like, oh god, I've just given them more money. Yep. They've already squeezed so much out of me.
My 100% games are Gears of War 3 and Skyrim, and then I'm possibly going to try. May dabble in Diablo 3 and maybe Knights of the Old Republic, but once again, Knights of the Old Republic, the MMO, and that's going to have a commitment to it. So I don't think I'm going to be able to commit to it, but I'll definitely be able to commit to both Gears 3 and Skyrim, just because Skyrim, I can play that for an hour every now and again when I want to. And
what about Battlefield 3 though?
I'm probably going to get that for PC because I've got a lot of PC friends that play that, so I'll probably play that from time to time.
Yeah, Arctic, I was going to ask you, are you planning on getting it on the Xbox or the PC?
Well, here's the thing. I'm buying a new Mac.
Ew, Mac.
It doesn't work on Mac. It doesn't work on Mac.
Probably won't play it on PC.
Like, I'm definitely, that's a shame. Like, Skyrim, I'm not getting that on console just because, like, I've heard the graphical differences. I mean, obviously, it was going to have huge graphical differences just because Xbox hardware is, like, 5 years old now. But I know I can run Skyrim at, like, high spec anyway. Because I don't want to be recording any footage anyway, just because I want to get immersed in the world of Skyrim. Like, myself, I just want to be sat with my keyboard and mouse playing rather than focusing on content for that. So I'm definitely going to play that on the PC and just sit there and probably just... People may think I've gone MIA when Gears of War 3 and Skyrim both come out. They'll be wondering where I've disappeared to.
What about you, Alex? What are you getting?
I'm going to be getting Gears of War 3, obviously. And people keep asking me at the moment, have you pre-ordered Gears of War 3? It's like the stupidest question to ask me. But yeah, Gears of War 3, Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, which I'm still really considering cancelling that one.
Don't do it.
Okay,
I'm preaching that. I'm dedicating a video to anti-Modern Warfare 2.5 / 2.2. Not Infinity Ward, the true Infinity Ward / Activision's money-grabbing, whore you out. It's just, no Modern Warfare 3. Don't ever
this podcast was definitely not sponsored by Activision or Infinity War.
Oh god. No, okay. For you, I will. When I go pick up Gears 3, I'll cancel my Modern Warfare 3 pre-order and I'll get my £5 back.
Thank you.
Hopefully. Hopefully, anyway.
They'll be like, "Are you sure you don't want to switch it to another game?"
And it's like, I'll take it off my Modern Warfare 3 and I'll put it on my Gears 3 deposit money.
Yeah, I'll put it towards the, what's it called? The season pass.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Well, one of the other reasons I want to cancel Modern Warfare 3 is because it seems that if you don't have Call of Duty elitist bullshit, it seems that you're going to be at a massive disadvantage DLC-wise, and I'm not going to commit to that game massively. Because Battlefield 3, I know I'm going to like that because I'm a Battlefield 2 player. I actually played it clan-wise and stuff when I was like 14.
I got to play in the Battlefield 3 Alpha, which is really nice on the PC. And
you played it?
Yes, I played it.
You lucky son bitch.
I love worming my way into alphas and betas. It's really nice, especially when I'm not supposed to be there. It's
interesting that you admitted to downloading Crysis too early. I didn't mention it before, but yeah.
I'll have somebody knocking at my door. No doubt. But Battlefield 3 Alpha was really, really nice. It looks better than Modern Warfare graphics, and that's only the Alpha. The gameplay was really, really smooth. You could go prone, which may be a little bit of an issue for Bushwookies, but it was a really fun Alpha, and as soon as you download it, you get a giant contract screen saying you may not post any content on this, and I was like, okay. Okay, I'm
please
sorry.
Please don't hurt me!
Yeah, it was good to play, though, and the beta, I'm... possibly going to get into that beta also. But I don't know. I think I'll be too hooked on Gears by the time that comes around. But I'll probably, if I have spare money, and depending on how much I like Gears 3 and Skyrim, depending on how much spare time I have to devote to other games, Battlefield 3 will be the next on that list.
The only other game I could think of that I really want is the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, yes, and the Zone of the Enders HD Collection, because I used to play those games religiously. And
Zone
I actually never
of
played...
Enders, which, oh my god, that was an amazing game.
Now, the first one I played, the second one I didn't, and it ended up being a really rare game in the end. But yeah, the first one's brilliant. I was watching footage of it the other day, and I really want to get a PS2 before it comes out and play Metal Gear Solid 1, Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3 again, and I really want to play Zone of the Enders again, and possibly get hold of some of the other Final Fantasy games, like Final Fantasy 9, because I used to love those games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting those for the whole nostalgia thing.
The HD collection will be nice, because that comes out on PS3 and Xbox, so it'll be nice to get.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to those. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast, the very first episode. It's about time the Gears of War community got a podcast, and I'm pretty sure there isn't any other ones.
I can tell you there's going to be another one that's more like a video cast than a podcast. So, yes, there will be another one, but
it won't be in the same.
This is the first official podcast.
We made history here, boys. Anyway, guys, thank you for coming on the podcast, and yeah, I'll. Next episode of this will come out after Gears of War 3, and if any of you two want to be on the next episode, just give me a shout. It would be really nice to have you, either of you back again. And, well, that is if you, I can pry you off of Gears of War 3. It doesn't sound like I'm going to be able to, so...
Don't be rough.
Yes.
Anyway, guys, thank you very much for coming on, and to the listeners, and I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, it was nice to be here.